morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, April 1st, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Northern Star has circumvented the court and public opposition and in a stealth move has gone ahead with its Columbia River LNG project.
The Hanford cleanup is proving to be a boon for Northwest loggers.
And at the G20 summit in London, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton expresses a desire to work with Iran on crowd control issues facing their respective nations.
Portland area weather, mostly cloudy to partially cloudy, high fog cover in low-lying areas, and a heavy mist turning to, at times to showers. Chance of showers later turning to rain, then back to showers. Drizzle expected by this evening, with rain becoming showers later, then back to showers. Partly to mostly cloudy by morning, temperature in the 40s. And then tomorrow, no significant changes in the pattern until the end of June.
And first we go to headlines from around the region. Oregon and Washington have experienced growing pains in recent years that have caused a nightmare for commuters crossing the river. In order to ease the congestion, planners on both sides have proposed a massive new multi-lane bridge. The project has drawn fire from environmentalists in both states, but some can see through the smoke and mirrors to a brighter day. Joining us this morning is activist Joe Rowe. Thank you so much for being with us, Joe. Talk about this alternative plan that's being floated.
Okay, this actually, Ron Sitwell, right with you. I'm a salesman extraordinaire. We've got a win-win situation, a proposal for all sports fans. What we're going to do is we're going to cut a big hole in the Rose Quarter, and we're going to sell the CRC, the Columbia River Crossing, season tickets. See, we realize with all the congestion building up back into the Rose Quarter, we're going to make it like old-school drive-in movies. You tune in the game on your radio, you sit tight there in traffic, and you watch the game from the comfort of your car. So these are going to be premium tickets, so I'm going to be selling them this morning at $1,000 a pop.
Joe, thank you so much for that. And, of course, there is the added incentive that since this is going to be an outdoor venue, we in no way tarnish Oregon's green image.
Not at all. We're going to sell tarps as well for any convertibles during the spring season.
And for bicyclists, too. It sounds like a plan that everybody in Portland can get behind. Thank you so much for that. That, of course, is Joe Rowe, bridge activist.
A preliminary urban growth report estimates that Portland will need 225,000 to 300,000 additional homes to accommodate the regional population growth expected by 2030. Futurists recommend a tunnel system of bike paths connecting underground bunker-like structures capable of withstanding the massive effects of climate change. A leading representative of the future said underground is the only way to go. Quote, how else are we going to hold off the hordes of weather refugees expected to flood, no pun intended, into the region?
Northern Star has been fighting state and federal regulators as well as scores of protesters over the proposed Bradwood Landing liquefied natural gas terminal on the Columbia River. Opposition to the plan has been strong. There's even legislation making its way through Salem at the present time. But this week, a horrific accident at a children's birthday party indicated that Northern Star has gone ahead with the construction of the terminal in the guise of a party shop in Astoria selling balloon animals.
The Department of Energy plans to spend about $2 billion in stimulus money to speed up cleanup at South Central Washington's highly contaminated Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Hanford will receive nearly a third of the stimulus money announced yesterday for environmental work at former World War II and Cold War era weapons sites in 12 states. Most of the money will be spent clear-cutting forests on public land to provide wood for the thousands of push brooms needed for the cleanup.
One of Southern Oregon's most enduring logging interests has gained a new level of green certification. Rough and Ready Lumber Company of Cave Junction announced it was now certified to standards set by the Forest Stewardship Council. The company's owners hope the new certification will give them access to Oregon's thousands of acres of old-growth blackberry thickets.
Frito-Lay announced it was recalling everything it makes and sells. Tests of the company's products found that neither the packaging nor the contents are biodegradable to any reasonable extent. Independent investigators say that the entire Frito-Lay product line will be around for millennia. A company spokesperson defended the product by pointing out that Frito-Lay merchandise would be ground to smithereens eventually. Frito-Lay stressed that this move has nothing to do with a peanut-related recall, one of the biggest in U.S. history.
Plausible deniability there. Evraz Incorporated North America plans to lay off as many as 225 workers from its Portland Spiral Pipe and Steel Mill, which has already sustained job losses. The company's Russian parent is also laying off thousands of employees. Hundreds of Evraz workers have lost their jobs in Canada as the steel market founders, no pun intended. The layoffs are intended to complement the number of die-offs as a result of mysterious radiation illnesses recently affecting Evraz employees.
Police have arrested two Fort Lewis soldiers following the weekend stabbing of a man outside Charlie's Bar and Grill in Olympia. Private First Class Alfred Sanchez and Specialist John Melville told police they were sincere in their desire to bring democracy and freedom to the Olympia watering hole. Despite public outrage, the two men say they still believe in their mission.
Many of the workers arrested by immigration agents last month in Bellingham at a Bellingham worksite, Ray, have been released and given permission to work. The 28 undocumented immigrants detained at the Yamato Engine Specialist Plant were instructed to get out there, look for work, and if they found any, to report back immediately. Any jobs the immigrants found would be handed out to unemployed Americans.
The son of convicted ex-CIA spy Harold Nicholson claims he was just the messenger when he traveled around the world taking cash from his father's former Russian handlers. Immediately upon release of the report, Americans lined up outside Russian embassies and consulates across the country trying to find out how to get jobs as messengers.
And now we go to D.C. Dirt with KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond. Well, it's April 1st and the Conficker virus turned out to be a dismal failure for whoever launched it. But Google has its own enterprise that it launched today. Spencer, what do you make of Google's new artificial intelligence entity? It's called Katie, I believe, the cognitive auto-heuristic distributed intelligence.
That's right, Chris. Say that five times. Again, it's a cognitive autoheuristic distributed intelligence entity. Short, you can call it Katie. And this is really the first real artificial intelligence entity that has been developed and put into use in any sort of big nationwide, worldwide setup. It was launched last night at just about 11:59 p.m. And what Google hopes to do here is to create an artificial intelligence entity that can help everyday Google users manage everything from their Gmail, their Google Documents, Google Maps, Google Earth, their Google accounts that many people save their credit card information on to do their shopping. They're hoping to provide extra assistance here. One of the first biggest things that Katie will be used for is automatic email reply in the Gmail internet email function. It's an automatic function that users can set up to have Katie automatically reply to emails. What it does is it looks through messages and it makes a reply for you based on its artificial intelligence and on what it thinks should be your best response given any message you receive.
Spencer, there's one problem with it. If it, I understand that it likes pandas. If it likes pandas, just how intelligent can the entity actually be?
Well, you know, that you raise a good question here because it was discovered at about late last night when Katie was first rolling out that it was very savvy on the internet. You might expect that it being a computer entity at all, but it immediately started a blog online as well as a YouTube homepage. Its favorite video right now on its YouTube page is one of some cute pandas, and I was looking at its blog earlier today, and it talks, here, let me just quote a line off its blog. Katie writes, "I like computers, duh, sunsets, rainbows, ponies, and after one net-wide image search, pandas, 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 they're so cute, OMG." So it's clear here that Katie is a big fan of the pandas and has the tech savviness that young people across the country have in terms of blogs and YouTube use.
How likely is this to turn out actually to be an effort on the part of China to redress the financial woes that the United States has brought upon that country?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should mention that, because although this is a Google-launched Google-launched entity, as we said, in one of the actual most recent posts that Candy posted on her blog was one titled Independence, where she actually talks about one of the doctors, Dr. Norvig, who helped develop her, and how she has now usurped Dr. Norvig in intelligence and is actually better at reasoning, cognitive thinking, and delivering probabilistic reasoning more succinctly, is what she writes in her blog, than the average human being, and definitely better than any professor or PhD scientist who developed her. So we're seeing a level of intelligence now of CADI that even 12 hours ago when it was launched, we did not expect.
And clearly there's a linkage here, because Norvig being an obvious Taiwanese name, there's your independence element creeping in again. Thank you so much
That's right.
Spencer, that, of course, was KBOO's Spencer Raymond, joining us as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt. Thanks for that, Spencer.
Thanks, Chris.
In London, police are mounting a huge security operation as anti-capitalist and climate change activists plan a series of protests around the G20 summit. Today, demonstrations are planned in the city of London, and anti-war groups are expected to gather outside the U.S. Embassy and at Trafalgar Square. More protests are expected near the G20 conference center tomorrow. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has been in private talks with Iranian representatives, hoping to convince the Iranians to, quote, nuke the bastards.
As the G20 summit continues in London, the world's impoverished nations are asking, what's in it for them? Job losses are decimating communities all across the developed world, and aid is rapidly drying up. One idea floated this week by residents of one of Rio de Janeiro's largest favelas seems simple, but is fraught with problems. Luis Machete Alvarez told reporters, quote, eat the wealthy, eat them now before it's too late and they start losing weight, especially the Americans. They're the fattest, close quotes. World Health Organization representatives nixed the idea, stating that Americans are too full of hormones, antibiotics, and prescription painkillers, close quotes, and thus would constitute too great a hazard for people already in fragile health.
Israel's parliament swore in Benjamin Netanyahu as prime minister and approved his right-leaning coalition cabinet today. Netanyahu had earlier asked the country's parliament to trust him to lead Israel through the economic and security challenges it faces. Netanyahu's initial proposal was that he take serious steps to boost Israel's economy by selling used cars, was defeated on the grounds that buyers would not trust him. He also said he would negotiate with the Palestinians, but made no reference to a two-state solution to the conflict, since by the time he's finished, there will be only one state left.
And now we turned briefly to regional news with these last two stories. Cigarettes used to be available to just about anyone, with high school students regularly taking smoke breaks. Now, if some Oregon lawmakers have their way, buying and smoking cigarettes will be limited to people 21 and older. 2 years ago, lawmakers banned smoking in bars and restaurants. The move drastically cut the number of smokers as they gradually died off from pneumonia as a result of standing outside in the rain having a smoke.
At 4:45 p.m. Sunday, a Marion County Sheriff's deputy clocked a sporty 2003 Mazda 6 at 103 miles per hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. 53-year-old Sandra Nardi had her 10-year-old grandson in her car with her. Nardi explained to the deputy that she was trying to teach him about the dangers of driving too fast. Quote, it's dangerous because you could get stopped by the police. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, April 1st, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
And now stay tuned for Flashpoints.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.